Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s. Also known as the Astrology Hour, on KFOX, 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. And happy day to you, one and all, Southern California. Finally, an opportunity for all the masses of people that listen to the show that have been bombarded with questions about some previous topics, and they wanted to talk to me on the air besides just forecasts. They have questions on the science of astrology and karma. Hey, it's your turn to call because we have open lines. And you can participate in today's topic. Today's topic is called The Astrology of Intuition. I'm going to talk about the role that intuition and awareness and being psychic and spiritual involved with being an astrologer, an interpretive astrologer, and what to look for in a person that would propose or would project being psychic or spiritual, and what basically is in the chart of someone who has evolved into New Age thinking, psychic and spiritual awareness. Basically, I think what today's topic really focuses on is what makes a person psychic astrologically. Everybody has psychic potential, it's true. But karmically speaking, I feel that we have earned through many of our past lifetimes the gift and the qualification of being a teacher and a healer and to project psychic information out into the universe, into this dimension, to help other people with their choices. I think the wrong kind of psychic will make choices for other people, and the best kind of psychic will be someone that will help someone take a look at their choices and advise them on what the options and alternatives would be concerning which choice they would make, which is really what I try to do on the Astrology Hour every day. So today will be a really fun show. I was a funny guy when I was growing up because I'm a daydreamer. You know, I'm somebody that in school, if you don't have my complete attention, I'm somebody that loses focus. And you know how parents just irk me when they go up to their kids and they'll go, "Stop daydreaming." Do you know who daydreams the most? See, daydreaming is an alpha state of consciousness. And if you have one of several factors in your chart, including Pisces planets except for Saturn, right? Pisces rising, Pisces moon. Or if you have planets in the 12th house, which is the Piscean vibration, and those planets are the same as having Pisces planets, which I have too. I have Neptune in the 12th, where it actually belongs, because Neptune is the Lord and the ruling planet of the vibration of Pisces. And I have a Mars conjunction Neptune, which is like having Mars in double Pisces because it's conjunct the Lord of Pisces, Neptune, and it's in the 12th house of the Piscean vibration. So, hey, I've been a daydreamer for years, but the funny thing is that those people that are more prone to daydreaming and more prone to alpha states usually have that Pisces connection, which will either be Pisces planets except for Saturn, planets in the 12th house except for Saturn, or that very magical aspect, which my good buddy and pal Avery Torres has, Venus and Taurus trine Neptune in Virgo. So Venus trines or any trines to Neptune in the chart will also pronounce and project a gift with psychic awareness. We find all kinds of interesting things in people that may pretend to be psychics. I didn't get a chance to take a look at Lawrence's chart, but I did do Vincent's and Dr. Peebles, Tom Jacobson's chart. And it's funny that I do confirm that both Vincent and Thomas Jacobson, I believe one of them has Venus in Pisces, the other one does have Mars in Pisces, which I like to see. Whenever I see somebody that will say they're a channel medium or will claim to be a psychic, if they don't have 12th house planets, Pisces planets, or a Neptune trine somewhere in their chart, then a lot of times I'll go, uh-oh, you know, like, are you sure you're a psychic? You know, like, I'm not sure about this reading. Also, I've also found that in second place, you know, behind Pisces planets, 12th house planets, and having a trine to your Neptune, of course, would be the Scorpio connection. And that would be planets in Scorpio, like I have my moon there, so that helps me be more psychic and intuitive. Planets in the 8th house, which is just like having planets in Scorpio, except for Saturn. Because, see, Saturn is a contractor, so Saturn and Pisces in the 12th or in Scorpio or in the 8th may reduce some of your intuitive sensitivity and may reduce some of your daydreaming ability and your ability to meditate and such. See? And finally, in third place, presenting a psychic potential would be the sign of Cancer, the third water sign. So Cancer planets, once again, I have Venus in Cancer. See, my chart is loaded with daydreaming ability and the ability to go into alpha or theta or meditate, and I've tranced out ever since I was a kid. So being a conscious channel on this show is easy for me because I've got all the factors. I've got Mars-Neptune conjunct in the 12th, and I have Venus in Cancer and Moon in Scorpio. So not only an extremely sensitive person, vulnerable, but also the intuition factor is there when you find those factors. Now, you might want to write these down. Let's write down what we find makes people psychic. And of course, I think next to having pronounced Pisces planets, or pronounced 12th house planets, which would mean having planets in Pisces or in the 12th house with trines or sextiles on them. Like my Mars in the 12th, thank goodness, is unafflicted. It has something like 1, 2, 3, 4 sextiles on it. And that really helps. That helps with a positive intuitive vibe. And then having planets in Pisces with trines or sextiles on them will help make you more psychic and intuitive. Or some people I know may not have any water in their chart at all, but they'll have a trine to that Neptune, like Avery Torres, my pal, who's Virgo rising with Neptune in the first. And her Neptune in the first gives her an out front intuitive vibration by having Neptune in the first house, because she has the Piscean planet in that first house in Virgo, which is work, it's career. So work and career with Pisces, her psychic ability is, she fell into the perfect niche. Venus in the 9th house of philosophy in Taurus is trine her Neptune, and it's almost exactly trine it, and that's why I feel she is one of the more psychic, if not the most psychic people in the 4 levels of the universe, as I told her on the phone this morning. But this show is fun because you can actually take a look at your chart. Most of your astrologers that are really engineers or mechanics as far as weeding out interpretations with a chart, I think they're good. But I think your finest astrologers are intuitive astrologers, which I sometimes will not really claim to be, but I would hope people would recognize me as such. An intuitive astrologer would be a person that would use their learning ability and the understanding of the mechanics of astrology as a science, while also putting into an equilibrium with, in conjunction to, their intuitive mind, their higher self, and any guides that may be around them to also help project information on a person's life without making the choice for them. Like, you'll notice a lot of times when I'm talking to someone on the phone and looking at their chart, I will say, if I was you, or if I had this chart, this is the choice I would make. But I am not telling the person to make this choice, because power of the mind overrules everything. So no matter what you have in your chart, no matter what transit you have, if you're positive and confident and optimistic about your life, then you're plugging into the God self, the messianic self. And as we know, plugging into the messianic self will overcome any effect or any vibrational effect in this dimension. It's what we call the complete overload key whenever you plug into that messianic self. So let's make this list here. Pisces planets pronounced with trines and sextiles, 12th house planets, and trines to the Neptune, especially, like I said, in the first house, right up front, because that's your personality house. And then, that's number one areas there. And then, let's say you have Scorpio planets, planets in the 8th house, or let's say you have Cancer planets, or planets in the 4th house. And these will be your most sensitive, intuitive people, people that will meditate easier, people more prone to visions and miracles, your healers, and people that will be more plugged into their intuition. So obviously, people into the psychic field as career, into healing, into trance channeling, or into intuitive astrology like I am, would be people that would be more qualified, I would think, to be your better intuitive counselors. And there will be a few exceptions. As to every rule, we may find a few exceptions, but very few, very few. I'd say 99 out of 100 people that would say they're psychic or know they're psychic or know they have strong intuition. Whenever I meet people with flooded stelliums in their 12th house, then I always say, why don't you give me a reading? Or a lot of planets in Pisces, or trines to the Neptune, because trines to the Neptune are hard to earn. See, when you get a trine to your Neptune in your natal chart, that means you did something tremendously positive in your past life that had to do with a psychic effort, or a psychic career, or an intuitive career, where you served as a transmitter for information from the other side to this side. So most of your psychics, in a way, are like mediums, are channelers, whether they're channeling their higher self, or whether they're channeling their intuitive mind, or whether they're channeling their guides consciously or unconsciously. The term psychic, in my opinion, or intuition, is the ability to literally plug into information on the other side in the 4th and 5th and 6th dimensions and beyond, and bring that here to the 3rd dimension here on Earth, in that way helping give us an edge, helping us understand a little bit more about the madness and the lunacy that goes on in this dimension. Things, you know, little things like karma, dharma, you know, reincarnation, astrology, things that are really important, that many people that are closed-minded to this knowledge this sacred knowledge. Many people that are blocked off by the wall of propaganda that's been laid down in this dimension throughout the years, and some of the religious dogma that has held us shackled to some of these nightmarish alternatives that are presented to us, and they will cut off your psychic power. I know some people that are extremely intuitive, and they misuse the power. You know, instead of using this ability with their Pisces moon or fourth house planets or 12th house planets or pronounced Neptune, instead of using this ability to help people and be the intuitive counselor for the new age, do you have any idea what they use it for? Think about it for a second. They abuse it. Speculation, that's right. Gambling, stock market, business, money. They use their power to try to guess what the pick six is going to be or what the lotto is going to be. That's okay. Hey, I say it's okay for people to make money, no problem. But just recognize that these people have the gift, the ability to plug into some of this powerful sacred information from the other side to give them insight as to what some of the destiny lines are. And if you want to misuse this and buy IBM in 1950, I'm not saying you're misusing it. You might not come back with the same power in your next life, because if you do misuse this type of psychic intuitive ability and you don't use it for the betterment of mankind, then the next time you come back, you might come back without it. And then you'll be one of those people that will take a look at the occult and psychic and spiritual awareness and astrology and go, "Oh, you don't believe in that stuff, do you?" You know, these people walk around here, I laugh at them. I go, "Come on, I don't even have time to sit down and talk to you about this, guy. This is ludicrous already. If you don't believe in psychic awareness or spiritual awareness or the power of astrology, then I'm not going to convince you to it. You're just going to have to rebirth at your own levels until you get there." Gosh, we have a bunch of people on the phones here. Nina, Bill, Karen, Holly, Sharon, Billy, Phoebe, and Patty all on standby. We'll be going to them soon. My name is Farley Mallorys. This is KFOX 93.5, the Astrology Hour, weekdays at 12 noon, and I'm really mighty glad you were able to tune in today. It bothers me when people walk around claiming to be psychic or pretending to be psychic or blow their karma by giving misleading people or trying to make choices for them. How many times have you heard a psychic say, "Well, your relationships are definitely horrible," or I'm not even going to say it. All of your relationships are blessed, ladies and gentlemen. You are all going to find wonderful people to fall in love with and live with or get married or whatever you'd like. And don't let anyone ever say negative to you, anything negative to you, whether they claim to be psychic or not. But I think it is fun and sometimes enjoyable to look at people's chart. You know, like I'm friends with Vincent and Lawrence and Tom Jacobson and Avery, and I look at their chart. When you see things like Venus and Pisces in Tom's chart, I know because he's such a good pal, he doesn't mind if I look if I look at his chart, because I have it right here with me. And you find things like that in Vincent's chart and just say to yourself, you know, no wonder these people are so intuitive. There it is right there. There's that Pisces factor right there. I think what Tom has is a Pisces moon, in fact. Something like that. I know he's got something in there. But overall, I really do think that it's interesting that Pisces is a factor that it controls so much power in our charts. Let's think about this for a second. See, we're going from the age of Pisces into the age of Aquarius. So right now, we're being given a clarity, which is a Piscean-Aquarian combination, where the intuition and the spirit and the God force is being combined from the Pisces sense to the clarity and the intellect and understanding the technical aspects of all this stuff from Aquarius. So right now, I feel, and I almost substantiate, that hundreds of millions of people on this planet are approaching Christ-like consciousness. That's right. We're talking about a generation of Jesus Christ, male and female. That's right. And I feel that this is what this new order is all about, this Saturn-Uranus conjunction that we're going through right now. And that's why I think a show like the Astrology Hour, of course, is so important, and why the programming on KFOX Radio is so important, because we're right here in the forefront, right in the middle of this rebirth, right here in the City of the Angels, Los Angeles, California, which I feel is one of the spiritual centers of this dimension, not only of this planet, but talk about a warp between dimensions. There are a lot of people meditating and crossing over that line, that Alamo line we talk about, right? Do you know how many people that are psychics now and that are spiritual, right, and that are mediums, that are healers, that are astrologers, that used to be hippies and acid users and cocaine snorters and marijuana smokers and alcoholics? That's the thing. See, Pisces vibration is such a heavy responsibility that when we were younger and searching and grasping and rebelling against what was accepted by this planet and society, it sickened us, it saddened us, we got frustrated and upset over this thing, and there was a massive generational escapism that led us into the drug culture. Of course, the Beatles kind of dragged us down in a way because they promoted a lot of this stuff, God bless them. But still, John Lennon, George Harrison are very spiritual people. George Harrison into the Hare Krishna, and John Lennon, as you know, extremely metaphysical. God bless him. But the point is that all this Piscean vibration was so much psychic energy that we couldn't handle it. And we didn't know how to handle it, so it frightened us. So a lot of us used drugs and alcohol and cocaine and acid to get into what we would call altered states of consciousness to try to understand it. Because that's what Pisces... See, Pisces offers a choice of either self-destructive experimentation, what we call phony spiritual, or sober construction, what I call logical, spiritual, and psychic. Because frankly, I'm not putting people down if they use drugs and alcohol, because a lot of people have to do that in order to get through and cross that line at the Alamo right to the other side. So sometimes understanding that everything is perfect and has a reason for existing and that everything has a reason for its own metaphysical growth. I'm not saying it's right for somebody to use heroin, but if that's their perfect state right now, then hey, that's their life lesson. It's not mine. But the point is, here, and we're getting into a controversial area, of course, right here, so I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but I have found that some of the more beautiful people in the world that have approached Christ-like level, we are talking stoned on God. We're talking higher states of consciousness beyond acid and quaaludes and marijuana or alcohol, anything you could conceivably comprehend to exist in an altered states of consciousness from drugs and alcohol. And I don't put down the Indians, American Indians and South American Indians, a lot of them use mushrooms and peyote and marijuana and hashish and such to get to certain states for initiation rites and stuff that's traditions. And that's their way. And I'm not saying that's bad, but I am saying that I have witnessed and I have experienced and I have known people that have also reached those same altered states without drugs or alcohol using crystals, using their higher minds, using their Piscean, Scorpio, Cancer factors, their Neptunian factors in their own essences to reach these higher states of consciousness that, as far as I'm concerned, dwarf anything you could imagine from anything, any organic substance, because anything in this dimension is an illusion anyway. So I think it would be an illusion for us to think that an organic substance would take us higher. Even an inorganic substance might take our consciousness higher than anything we could naturally direct ourselves to. Because let me tell you something, if you ever are at a level where you can plug into the God mind, and I'm not waving a flag here or anything or patting myself on the back, because I feel that I have tasted this oneness. You know, I'm not claiming that I am one with God, one of the universe, because I'm human, but I feel that I have tasted feeling this oneness with all people, with all beings at all levels and all dimensions, at whatever capability a human could feel that. And we are talking stoned on God here. You know, we are talking tripping out on what there is, because some of the dreams I've had with these crystals and some of the meditations I've had are just mind-boggling. And even if you don't have any Pisces factors, it's going to take a long day to find people that are void of Pisces, void of Scorpio, void of Cancer, void of pronounced Neptune, void of 4th, 8th, and 12th house planets. I mean, we're talking about a minimal minority here that are totally void of all this stuff. But aha, remember that everybody is going to go through a positive Neptune complement one day. That's right. Even if you don't have a natal aspect in your chart that says you might have been born with an intuitive gift, one day you're going to have a trine to your natal Neptune. And puppy, that's going to open you up. That's going to give you a choice to open you up when you get those trines to Uranus, trines to Neptune, and trines to Pluto. In the long term, that's the kind of stuff that awakens you and slaps you upside the face and the head and the body and says, hey guy, hey gal, there's something more. There is something more to this universe than you thought there was. And at that point, a lot of people say, Farley, I am ready to get my astrology chart done now, because now I understand that it does work and it is real. And that's what we call a psychic and spiritual rebirth when that stuff happens. So you better believe you might not be one of those people that are super gifted, but there are different levels of gifts, and everyone has the Christ seed inside of them. Everyone has the messianic seed inside of them, because everyone has the I Am inside of them, and that I Am is a single entity that we refer to as God, but basically that entity is a vibration that controls this entire existence, this entire universe, one single entity. There is no separation. There is one major connection, and that is this force we call God, And when human beings reach up to this high level of awareness, they plug into this messianic center. And sometimes understanding and accepting the fact that we all have this power, that we all have this intuition, although at different levels, and we all have this ability to qualify to higher levels, we keep striving to do that with our meditations, with our chantings, with our prayers, with our positive thinking, with our affirmation, and with our never give up attitude, with our humility, with our selflessness, and trying to void ourselves of obsessions, and trying to create not getting so attached to any one single thing in this dimension, because it is limited, because it will pass, and because there is an illusion of separation that exists. And once you strive for that stuff, then eventually you can't lose. Eventually you will win, and what you will win will be awareness, and higher mind, and intuitive mind, intuitive self, God self, messianic properties, and you will be another person to help herald and midwife this planet into the new age, which is right upon us right now. So there's a topic I didn't even know about before the show started, the astrology of intuition, and I hope you liked it like I did. Now, let's go to the phones and talk to some people that have been waiting a long time. Nina is an Aquarius, Sag, Rising. Hello.
Yes, hi, how are you?
Excellent.
Good. I need some, just a kind of general forecast and trying to figure out where my brass ring is in 1988.
You mean you're on the merry-go-round and you're looking for the ring?
Right. I'm expecting a job change or promotion.
You mean after, you don't have any comments about that topic at all?
Oh, I think it's great, and I'd like to know where, my Neptune is in Libra.
Uh-huh.
And I have Venus in Pisces.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's any trine there or anything.
Well, are you an intuitive person?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that proves that right there. You just went through a Pluto trine your Venus this last few years, which could have opened you up. It's like having a gift but being made more aware of it. And that might have not only brought you money, but it might have brought you a little bit more higher consciousness also.
It certainly has. Over the last year, I've been involved heavily in channeling and the New Age movement.
Have you had visions and miracles happen to you?
I would say so, yes. Not necessarily visions, but certainly miracles.
Can you share one with us?
Things have really gone positive as far as a change in location of where I live, moving across the country here to Los Angeles.
Where are you from?
From Michigan originally.
Detroit? I must be psychic, right? Well, you know, I think, are you married yet?
Yes.
Is the marriage coming along okay?
It's coming along okay, but it's getting a little boring.
Oh, real good, Nina. Yeah, that's because you have Venus opposed Mars in your chart. You're very magnetic right now, and even though the marriage has been okay from the Neptune trine your Mars, Saturn and Mars and Uranus trine your Mars, believe it or not, could bring some options into your life with new men.
Hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that this marriage is in jeopardy, but I am saying you're being offered some alternatives in the future, and or you're being offered a chance to totally rebirth and revamp this current marriage and add some new variety to it by discussing it with your husband. What can we do to become new aliens? Let's both dye our hair green or something.
That's what we've been talking about, is trying to get some variety back.
Okay, thank you, hon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And I hope you join the club and support the show. Let's go to Bill on line 3, Virgo, Libra, Rising. Yo, Bill.
Hi.
Hi, I hope you join the club, too.
Yeah, I plan to. I've only been in L.A. for 3 days, and I found out about the show, and it's a great show you have.
Where are you from? Thank you.
SF.
I graduated high school about 3 months before you were born. That's okay. No problem.
I have 4 planets in the 12th house, and they're all Virgo.
So you love this topic, huh?
Yeah, it's a great one.
Sounds like you should be sitting down at a psychic fair doing readings, huh?
Should I? I haven't indulged in the readings much.
But, you know, you have Saturn in Pisces, which could create a doubting Thomas or somebody that might be skeptical of the stuff.
Exactly. Well, I find that, but I try not to, you know.
Do you feel like you have this power that wants to come out, but sometimes you feel like something is holding it down or keeping it from coming forth?
Yeah, it's kind of, it's hard, you know, at times.
Yeah, you do have the 12th house vibe, but you also have the Saturn in Pisces, so there's a karmic struggle there.
Retrograde to the Saturn.
Yeah, there's a major struggle there, and it's opposed your Uranus in Virgo. And it's barely opposed your Pluto in Virgo. So there's a big battle going on inside of you that's like material versus spiritual.
Exactly. That's about 2 years now.
Yeah, we did a show on that a couple weeks ago that probably just nailed your personality right down, too.
Wow.
All right, is that why you called?
Well, maybe you could just give me a general overview for the next couple weeks.
What's your rising degree?
My rising degree is 17.
A magical degree, very hard to earn for Libra. And your moon is Libra also?
My moon is Libra also, yes.
What degree is that?
Let me find it here. It is, moon. Oh, my moon, my rising, that's not, my rising is in 17, actually. My moon is 17, and that's in Libra.
Okay, what's your rising, guy?
Let's see, that is 8.
Okay, Did you come to Los Angeles to make a killing here?
Hope to.
I hope it's not somebody's life. No, I'm just kidding. You are shown a lot of money and an accentuated social life, but you are also shown a New Age awakening that's very important.
That's another reason I've came, you know.
Yeah, because I think you are one of those heralds I've talked about, too, with all that 12th house stuff. When you have 12th house planets, the gift, the responsibility is so awesome that it usually means you have a debt for the masses, sometimes for the planet.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes doing something selfish for yourself and your life can sort of set you back metaphysically if you don't do something major for the planet. That's what I have in my 12th house, Mars and Neptune. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. A lot of first-time callers today. Let's go to Karen, who's a Virgo, Cancer, Rising. Hi, Karen.
Hi. Congratulations on your great show today.
Oh, well, thank you.
What a real positive outpouring of energy. You could just feel it through the airwaves.
Well, I didn't think of this, but with a Pisces moon dead center at 15, it's apropos because the sun's going into Pisces, and I thought, I was telling my psychic pal Avery there that this is a very psychic time because the Pisces transits are upon us here. So I figured, what the heck?
Helped a lot of people. So this 12th house stuff in a positive light instead of, you know, self-destruction, self-undoing, all that negative energy.
Well, you know, a lot of us have been hippies and into drug culture, but I think a lot of us are glad it's over and that we're into something else, you know? Yeah. Were you a hippie?
Oh, yeah.
You demonstrated, huh?
Yes.
What'd you demonstrate, against the war?
Against the war. It was in Washington, D.C. at the time.
Uh-huh. Very interesting. I'm not going to admit nothing on the air. I was in Columbia, Missouri, and they were throwing everything at us. Okay, what can we do for you?
Well, you're the expert. I'd just let you take a look at my chart and see what you see.
Well, what degree is your Cancer rising?
15 degrees.
Oh, that's a special placing. I think, gosh, let's see. Now, I think you have Venus right at zero Virgo. Is that right?
Yeah, Venus, Mercury, and the Sun are real close there at the beginning part of Virgo.
Boy, we are talking about a major killing right now as far as finances and love and just positive vibration in your life. Are you feeling good?
Well, actually, I just got laid off a job.
That is
weird. Transition coming.
Boy, that talk about an ending making way for a new beginning. I think your life is about to take off. With all this Virgo Cancer in your chart, Mars and Cancer, I hope you're not as much of a worrier as you could be.
I am. Got to confess.
Oh, you know, worrying energy and analyzing and being too much mental can negate a lot of your potential right now. So what you should do is probably let God handle it and release it to the universe, stop worrying so much, and then start manifesting some positive vibes. Because, hey, this Saturn, Uranus, Mars, trine your Venus, Sun ain't going to last forever, and it's time to take advantage. You should probably start up your own business now or become a New Age counselor or something like that.
Okay.
Good luck.
Great. Thank you.
Bye, sweetie.
All right, bye-bye.
And thanks for your kind thoughts. Holly is an Aries Pisces rising. Are you psychic?
Hi, Farley.
Are you psychic?
I don't know. Am I? I don't know.
Okay. So what do you see in my future, Holly?
Women.
I'll listen to you. Okay. What can we do for you, Holly?
What's the midheaven? Sagittarius is in my midheaven. What's that mean?
Well, the midheaven is the cusp of the 10th house, and it's the success factor in the chart. It tells us what your soul is aspiring to accomplish and succeed in this life. It is a controlling factor for career, and actually has a lot to do with what you do with your life. Thanks, Holly. Bye. No. What else do you need, huh?
Well, what I wanted to know is about permanent relationships.
Permanent?
Yeah.
You think you can handle a relationship without rejecting anybody?
I don't really.
Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
Real good karma, Holly.
Yeah.
You're a dominant Aries, I would think, huh?
Yeah.
My way or the highway?
Yeah. I am.
Yeah. You have Mars and Leo. Wow, you must attract a lot of men here.
Yeah.
And then they, do you?
Yeah, I do, but they're difficult relationships, always, it seems like.
And then you toss them out after a while.
Yeah.
It's like wash and wear.
Yeah.
Holly. Well, you know, if you want to be happy with a relationship, I think you have to recognize the oneness in all people more, respect it, stop looking for Mr. Right, they don't exist,
right,
and be aware that there's Mr. Close,
right,
and also try not to rule or dominate or act like the father with people, because Mars and Leo women may tend to be the father and the mother in a relationship, and that can intimidate a man and remind him of his childhood too much.
Right.
It's better to be more cooperative, more loving, more romantic, more tender, and less intense, and then maybe you'll have a commitment.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I almost married a woman with Mars in Leo.
You did?
Boy, did I cry. I cried every day for months when I got hurt in that one. That's why I see people with Mars and Leo. I figure we should mark them so we can see them coming ahead of time.
Oh, no.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. We should put a big red cross on the front. All women with Mars and Leo so you can run when you see them. No, actually, they're wonderful people. Otherwise, I wouldn't love them. Let's go to Sharon in Aries, Gemini Rising. Hi.
Hi, Farley.
Are you psychic?
Sometimes I think so, but my chart really doesn't look that way.
Hmm. Nothing in any of those factors, huh?
Well, I have some planets in my 12th house, but there are no Pluto or Cancer.
Well, that's okay. 12th house planets are just like Pisces planets.
Yeah?
Sure.
My Moon and Mars. They're in my 12th house.
Oh, that's like Moon and Mars in Pisces.
Oh, okay.
That's real psychic. Boy, you could probably tell me my future. You see women there, too?
I sure do.
I wish somebody would see just one woman for a change instead of all these troops of women coming.
Is that what you want, just one?
I would, wouldn't you think? With the AIDS crisis, I would think that you should, try to settle in with one,
I agree with you, Farley.
Okay.
Listen, I quit my job in November. Major, major career move. Left a company that I've been with for 7 years, and I'm in the process of looking for a job. I've got two jobs on the wings that I think they're going to offer me a position, and I want to know what you see in my career.
How about in the next 24 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sun
trine your Neptune, which is your career lord. What degree is your Gemini rising?
19.
Yeah, 19 Pisces midheaven and 19 Aries midheaven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, March and April are big months for career for you, and I think you're going to get whatever you want.
Really? Decide.
Yeah, it's because you have Mars in Gemini and Jupiter in Virgo. Get off that horse and decide on something here.
But you see something good. Whatever decision I make will be the right one.
You should buy one of those things that you spin the thing and it says yes, no, yes, no. Yeah, when it stops, it decides for you. Then you call me up going, Farley had made a big mistake. I think my opinion is it's better to make a bad decision than to miss the boat.
Right.
It's like the boat comes by the dock, right? You're sitting there going, should I jump? Should I jump? I might get crushed. I may get crushed. Should I jump? Should I jump? And then before you know it, the boat's gone.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's better to take the chance and end up in intensive care.
Okay.
No, but if you miss too many boats, then what's the purpose of life? You have to come back and do it all over again.
Yeah, you'll just be swimming forever.
So don't be scared. Just make a choice and think positive and go for it.
But you think in the next 24 hours I'm going to make that choice, huh?
Hey, you survived your Saturn return, didn't you?
Oh, amazingly.
From now on, you're on the way up now.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you, Farley.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I say 24 hours to about a week. It's happening now. Let's go to Billy, another Aries on line 6. Yo, Billy. Hi.
Hi. I was just wondering, I haven't had my chart done, but I've got the information now so I can have it done.
Very good.
What do you see in the line of relationships and a career change for me?
Are you all alone right now?
No.
You're involved.
Right.
Should I see how it looks?
Yes.
Are you happy with it?
Yes.
I think for you, you probably went through some of your roughest times with this relationship the last few months.
Right.
Do you feel like you've come out of a big quest here that's kind of smoothed out a little bit?
Yes, I do.
See, you have a lot of karma with yourself and men, which means that because you're born with Mars in Pisces opposed Jupiter in Virgo almost exact, that you may expect a heck of a lot from relationships, and it's like they're never, ever perfect, and that might bother you.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
That makes sense, yes.
So for you, you got to understand that you may be coming from a past life experience where you were, in fact, a man, and you were dealing with a lot of picky women.
Okay.
So you've come back on this side of the fence now to see what it's like to be the picky woman.
Uh-huh.
You are shown a marriage coming up here either next year or the year following. If not that, then a whole wave of men will come into your life at that point, and you'll be confused with what to choose.
Okay.
Okay.
What about the career? Do you see any career changes for me?
Get your rising sign done and call me back so I can look at that.
Okay.
Bye. Phoebe is a Leo with Libra rising just like me. Hi, Phoebe.
Hi, Farley. How you doing?
What's your rising by degree?
It's 17.
Wow, that's close to me.
Oh, really? What is yours?
20.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right.
Do you feel like a female Farley sometimes?
Yeah, I can understand you a lot.
Go, that guy's nuts. No. What can we do for you, hon?
Just like a general forecast, if I could.
Boy, are you glad 1987 is over?
Yes, because 1988 has opened me up to a lot of things, including astrology and spirituality and metaphysics.
This is a very special time for you right now, Phoebe. You're being given a lot of things that you've wanted. The big question is, can you handle the responsibility connected with having these things that you want, like improved career, improved relationships, more money, possibly promotions? And this is a very special time for you, and it will last all year. So you can find 1988 to be one of the more exciting years for you. After 30, you will have gone through a major test, and you'll probably be happier than you've ever been after your 30th birthday.
Okay, what about relationships?
It depends. Do you worry and criticize people, worry about them and analyze them and criticize them a lot?
Yeah, I guess you might say. I guess that's a total makeup, I guess.
You give them a silent hard time that seems to build?
What do you mean by that? I don't want to...
You know, giving them a hard time, trying to change them.
No, not really.
Well, that's good. You are shown a possible marriage coming up in the next year or two. So you can think and worry and analyze that now. I'll see you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. She's such a thinker. Venus and Mars and Virgo. Let's go to HP, who is on line 2, an Aquarius. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, just better and better.
All right. What can we do for you?
I'm calling in about a birth date of my dad, who is 74 today.
Oh, you want to
get a general health and fitness scan.
Health and fitness.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's difficult to be too specific without a rising sign, but is he a pretty happy guy?
Pardon me?
Is he a pretty happy, optimistic guy?
At this stage in the game, yeah.
Oh, good. Okay, good. He's not working anymore, is he?
Well, he's a retired attorney.
Oh, that's good. Okay. He appears to have a pretty strong intellect here.
You were talking about people who are psychic.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say psycho. line.
We're talking about people that were psycho, right. Well, your dad...
I tried to call, I got disconnected, and I just felt it was for the better. But anyhow, it's an appropriate day today that I call and discuss with you my own experiences with a psychic.
Mm-hmm. Well, your dad has Mercury and Venus and Pisces, by the way. Go ahead. What is your name, by the way?
Oh, it's HP.
Okay, and what were your experiences with the psychic?
As far back as I can remember, sitting there and watching some damn baseball game, right? Not knowing what's going on. I said, well, here comes another home run. And wouldn't you know, it was just like Babe Ruth calling it in Wrigley Field.
Yeah, I've done that myself.
To a point where I just couldn't be in the same room with him.
Oh, your dad does that?
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that funny?
And it's just like you're sitting around just waiting for it, you know?
Yep.
Like, what's it going to be this time, huh?
That's funny. Yeah, you're
at 119.
Well, your dad is a very psychic man. He's got Mercury and Venus both in Pisces, so he has a very exciting chart. I bet you he has served as a teacher and a counselor and someone to guide others. He's got like a master's chart.
Well, he definitely has that in his past. I'm just kind of concerned about his health and well-being because when you get to that age and all that dieting, you know, over the years just got to him.
Yeah. Okay, well, just tell him to stay confident and positive. Get a chart on him and call me back with his rising sign. I'll look deeper into his health for you.
Well, I'll do that.
Okay, guy. Bye-bye. You know what? We're out of time here today. Sid and Mary and also Susan, are you there? And Jerry, are you all there?
Uh-huh.
And Marie? I'm sorry, I ran out of time. Did you enjoy the show today?
Yeah.
Well, I love you all. If you call back tomorrow, I'll give you all priority.
Okay.
Are you all psychic?
I think, yeah.
Okay, well, I love you all. I'll see you tomorrow at 2 minutes to 12.
Okay.
Thank you, bye. Thank you for being a member and a listener to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, heard weekdays at 12 noon, KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Now you can go have lunch or do whatever. Okay? So we'll see you real soon. How about weekdays on the Fox, you know what I mean, at 12 noon? Have a nice day. I'm in a great mood. I'm going to have a great day. Bye. And everybody is psychic.